Okay, we're beginning here, seven lines down in the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara here is quoting a memra from Rabbi Yehuda that we actually saw back on Lamed Gimel Amud Bet. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, I'm on the nokit magla b'tovlaya, person who has in his hands a knife, a scythe, and a tovlaya, which we saw two different interpretations over there, whether it was basket or ropes. Amar izel igzira l'dikla d'planya, I'm going to go and here are the girsas igzira. We saw back on Lamed Gimel Amud Bet that the girsa was igderei, and there was a machloket whether it was that he was cutting the fruits, harvesting the dates from the palm tree, or whether igzera was literally that he was cutting down the palm tree. Tosfot over there rejected that explanation and said whether you have igzera or igdera, it simply means to harvest the dates off the palm tree. And he says, izel igzera the dikla de planyo, we're going to go harvest the dates off of the palm tree of so-and-so, dizavante mine, that I purchased from him, mehemen, he is believed. Lo chotzif inish, the migzar dikla. People are not so mechutzav to go and either cut down a palm tree or harvest a palm tree. Delav delay, that's not his. So again, we saw this back on Lamed Gimel Amud Bet. He's carrying either a long knife or some sort of cutting instrument, a rope, either to help him get up the tree or to pull the knife up or the basket up, or he has a basket, as the Rabbeinu Gershom described over there. The dates are very high up on the palm tree, so he has a knife on a long stick, and he cuts the dates, and then he puts a basket up near where the dates are, so that it captures the dates as they fall off, and they don't fall to the ground. But the main point of what is being said here is if a person says such a thing, we believe them, because people are not so brazen as to walk into someone else's field and start harvesting their fruits, or cutting down their palm trees. And therefore, he must have bought it, otherwise he wouldn't be doing this, and he wouldn't be engaged in this activity. Nobody would let someone engage in this activity if it was not their land. Ve'amar Rav Yehuda, so here's a new memra. Ha'iman da'achzik miguda da'arudei ulebar. Someone who takes a chazaka from the wall of the arudei and outwards, lo avi chazaka. That is not classified as a chazaka. So the Rashbam describes over here that these were fields that were near the areas of the forest or places that were not inhabited. And therefore, there were wild animals that came over to these fields and used to eat the produce of these fields. In order to protect their produce, the farmers would put up a wall around, but they would not put up the wall around the edge of their field. They would actually come in a little bit into their property and put up the wall. And then they used to plant even small amounts or throw seed on the outside of the walls. And that was to give feed to these wild animals, put up a wall to stop them from coming in and eating their produce. So they gave them what to eat outside of their field, and they also put up a wall to prevent them from coming in. So now what Rabbi Yehuda says is that wall, if on the outside of that wall someone comes along and starts to harvest whatever is on the outside of the wall, and they do that for 3 years, that is not classified as a chazaka. So that's one. Haiman da'achzik miguda da'arode. Arode is used in the Gemara in two different ways. It's used sometimes to mean a scorpion. Other times it's used to mean a wild donkey. Over here it seems to make sense that it's a wild donkey. So this wall that was there to protect against the wild donkeys, but they had left space on the outside that belonged to them in order to plant or leave feed for those wild animals. Lo avi chazaka. You cannot establish a chazaka by taking that produce or that area outside the wall. My time up. Meima amar. Called the Zora. Name arude achlile. The individual can say, I didn't stop you from taking over there. I didn't stop you from harvesting that area because I didn't expect to take it for myself anyway. I was not experiencing any loss by you taking it because I expected the wild animals to take it anyway. So therefore, you can't establish a chazaka over here because this is not the normal way that people take possession of the land. And the area of the land that he is taking possession of is an area where the balabatim are not so makpid. And since they're not makpid on it, you can't establish a chazaka just because there's a lack of objection from you being there. V'amar Rav Yehuda, ochla orla eina chazaka. So the girsa that we have over here, first of all, only has the word orla in it. And second of all, the conclusion is eina chazaka. You cannot establish a chazaka that way. If you look in the Ot Gimel in the Bach, he first of all amends over here, adds into the girsa, that not only is it orla, but it's orla shvi'it vikilayin. Obviously, the common denominator between all these items are that they are asurim to eat, or they do not belong to the ba'alim. So what we're saying over here is if you went into a field and ate orla, which is asur to eat, or you ate kilei akerim, which is asur to eat, or you ate during the shvi'it, where all the produce is hefker, you cannot establish a chazaka in that manner, because you are eating things that the balim are not going to object to. As far as kilayim and orla are concerned, he has no interest in them, he's not going to harvest them, they are surim bahana'ah. And he says, let that person eat them, and Hashem will take care of them. Hashem will punish them. You're not causing any loss to this individual, and there's no reason for him to object to your eating of those items. Shvi'it, there he has no balut over the field. The Torah says that he has to give up his ownership and allow anybody to eat it. So the fact that you're eating in his field during that time period is not something that establishes ownership or causes a loss to him. And therefore, in any of those items, you cannot establish a chazakah. Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a braita that supports that reading. Achlo orla shvi'it vikilayim, eina chazaka. So we have a braita that supports that exact reading or that understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, that these types of consumption or utilization of the field by parties is not considered to be a chazaka. That is the girsa that we have in our Gemaras, and it follows the girsa that the Rashbam indicates, that all of these items cannot establish a chazaka. On the other hand, the Rashbam himself quotes from the Beinu Chananel, and he says, "Uperish Beinu Chananel garsinan achi ochla orla shvit vikilayim harizo chazaka." He has the exact opposite girsa. Again, like the Bach, he includes all three items in here, which is orla shvit and kilayim. But his halachic statement is harizo chazaka. It is a chazaka. You can establish a chazaka with these items. And it's not what the Rashbam is indicating over here, that these items are asurim, and the balim are not makpid on them. Therefore, you cannot establish a chazakah. And the Rashbam over here says, v'lo nihira, says that the Rabbeinu Chananel's understanding or reading of the Gemara seems very problematic, for obvious reasons. The Rashbam already explained the logic behind this, which is that these items are things that the balim are not makpid on. If they're not makpid on them, why should it be that you can establish a chazakah with the lack of objection? Of course, there's a lack of objection. The person doesn't care about these items or has no ownership over these items, and therefore I will not stop you from eating them. On the other hand, the Balei Tosafot quote the Girsa of the Rabbeinu Chananel, and they favor the Girsa of the Rabbeinu Chananel because of Gemarot in Ketubot and other places in Shas, which seem to indicate that you can establish a chazakah, or you can establish ownership through these years or the consumption of items like Orla, Kilayim, and Shvi'it. But what the Balei Tosafot points out, basically, is that you can bifurcate the din. There are certain items or certain things in the field that you could utilize even if they have Isurim involved with them. Even if you have an Isur Orla, or even if you have an Isur of Kilayim, or you have an Isur of Shvi'it, there's still items on the field that you could take off the field or utilize from the field that would not be subject to that Isur. So they agree with the Rashbam that it can't be that these fruits that are surim establish the chazaka, because obviously over there the balim are not makbid. But there are other items on the field, and he points out, zmurot, branches or pieces of wood that are on the field that a person could take off the field and would be mutarim. And he explains the different scenarios in which that could be the case. For instance, in Kilei Akerim, where you have to grow 1/200th over what is heter over there in order to make it asur. And he says that could happen faster with the fruits than it can happen with the branches. So you could have a possibility of the fruits being asurim b'kilei akerim, and yet the wood or the branches of these vines are yet to become asur b'kilei akerim. And therefore this individual cuts the branches or takes it off for wood from the field, he's acting like the owner of the field. You're right, as far as the fruits are concerned, as far as those items that are asurim, the balim are not makpid, so you can't establish a chazaka. But those items that are mutarim, like this murot, that you can walk up the field with, you're utilizing the field like an owner would utilize the field. And if nobody objects to that, then you can establish a chazaka. And thereby, the Tosafot upholds this girsa of the Rabbeinu Chananel and reads the Gemara as being Amar of Yehuda, Uchlo Urla Shvi'it V'Kilei Kerem, Harizo Chazaka, that establishes a chazaka. And similarly, in the Braita, they would have the girsa that it is Harizo Chazaka. Amar Rabbi Yosef, achla shachat lo avi chazaka. If he eats from the field when it is shachat, then there is no chazaka. This comes to a basic understanding or principle that lies behind the establishment of a chazaka. And that is that a person has to gain benefit from the field in order to establish a chazakah. If a person is simply investing in a field, if a person is expending money in the field, or doing things that gain him no benefit, that does not establish a chazakah. Because our understanding of the chazakah is that you're doing something that the owners would be makpid on because they are losing out from what you are doing. In cases where you're expending money, and we'll see this as the Gemara goes on, and doing things that are costly to the field, the Balim are not going to care about that because, in essence, you're doing them a favor. You're working on their field and doing things for them that they would otherwise have to pay for. Where the Balim are makpid is when you walk off with produce or where you take things that will cause them losses in the field. And that's how you establish a chazakah, is by doing or acting like a balim of the field and taking benefit from the utility of the field. So over here, if you go ahead and cut the grains while they're shachat, while they're still very young, immature, and you use it for animal feed, the Rishbam claims over here you can't establish a chazakah because you're not being machzik, the machzike inishe, that you're not taking a chazakah like the normal way that people use or utilize such a field. And he says, yesh raglayim ledavar, there is circumstantial evidence here that you don't own the field because she'arehu lachzik kashar b'nei adam. Because you do these underhanded methods of taking the produce off the field. Because really your field, most people would let the grains mature or reach full maturity. The fact that you're cutting it quickly before it reaches full maturity almost seems like you're sneaking onto the field trying to take it before anybody notices. And that's already a problem in terms of establishing chazakah because you're not acting like an owner of the field. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Chananel suggests that the failure over here is the lack of economic benefit that you're getting. The shachat isn't worth so much, or it's almost worth nothing. And therefore, when you go and take that off the field, you're not really benefiting economically from the field, and therefore you can't establish a chazakah. Bama Rava, Rava says, Ibitzavar Mechuza, if it's in this area of Mechuza, the neck of Mechuza, Kaima, have a chazakah. There you can establish a chazakah. It seems to be, according to the Rashbam, that in Tzavar Mechuza, there were extremely wealthy individuals that lived there. Given their wealth, they had large numbers of animals, and they needed feed. And therefore, for them, feed was an important part, or the way that they utilized the field. Since that is the primary way by which they used the field, you can establish a chazakah by replicating whatever the Balim would have done in this field. So since the Balim normally would use this field for feed, if you go ahead and then act as the Balim for 3 years taking it for feed, then that gives you a chazakah. That's the way the Rashbam explains it. The other hand, the Rabbeinu Chananel said before, when you took shachat, there was no economic benefit. He suggests over here that the people had large herds of animals, or that the army used to set up camp over there and they had large number of animals that they needed to feed. And therefore, in that area, shachat was expensive. Since it was expensive, there was an economic benefit to taking the shachat or the hay off the field because it was worth a lot of money. In that case, if you do it and there's no objection from the Balim, you can establish ownership, you can establish a chazakah because you're taking economic benefit or significant economic benefit from the field that the Balim are foregoing. And if they don't object, that is an act of establishing a chazakah. Amar of Nachman, Tafticha lo avi chazaka. A tafticha does not establish a chazaka. Over here, the Rashbam brings two explanations as to what it means. The first of which is, it is land that is full of cracks in it. It's not so fertile, or fruits and items don't grow on it so easily. Given the low quality of the land, people are not makpid on the land because it produces so little that they're not makpid to go and then harvest it or work it or take the fruits off of it. And therefore, if someone else goes ahead and does that, you can't establish a chazakah in that manner. And therefore, the shorish of the word over here would be, but from the word patuach, that it was an area that was open or not protected or not utilized. And that's why this person who came and went ahead and used it, nobody objected to it because, again, according to the Rashbam, people don't use it this way. Therefore, your utilization of it that way does not establish a chazakah. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, people only are makpid when you get real economic benefit from the field. Over here, there's so little produce, there's so little fertility to this land, that your utilization of the land really doesn't gain you anything economically or detract economically from the real owners of the field, and that's why they're not objecting. Given that, you cannot establish a chazakah. On the other hand, the Rashbam brings the Rabbeinu Hananel, who suggests that this type of property is a property that you do not plow, but rather, given the hardness of the land and the way that the wind hits it and the heat of the sun, it cracks. And given the cracking of the land, it simulates the effect of being plowed, and someone comes along and then plants seed in those cracks. Again, since this person didn't plant it in the way that normal people plant it, or that's not considered to be the normal usage of the field, there, you're not going to be able to establish a chazak over here, because you're not really plowing the field, utilizing the field. You're simply throwing some seeds in the natural cracks of the field and seeing what grows. That's not the way that people normally use a field, and you can't establish chazakah that way, because again, there's circumstantial evidence that you're using the field in an unusual manner. Given that, you're probably sneaking in, or you're trying to avoid investing heavily in the field, and you're going to see, you throw some seeds in, if it grows and nobody stops you, you're going to take it. But not that you're really trying to establish ownership over here. The Rambam describes it as a setting up of the irrigation systems on the field. And therefore, it's patach. Again, the Rashbam says p'ticha means it's an open field, nobody's protecting it, nobody's utilizing it. The Rabbeinu Hananel says that it's patuach, meaning that the ground is opening up as if it is plowed. And over here, the Rambam is talking about patuach, meaning that they are putting in the infrastructure, developing the area by putting in irrigation systems to utilize the field. And the reason that you don't establish a chazakah here is because, again, you are expending money without any benefit. The putting of the pipes or the irrigation for the field gains that person nothing economically. It only benefits the field itself. Until they take produce or until they take economic benefit from the field, the balim are not going to be makbid. So if you set up an irrigation system, there's no reason for the balim to say anything. The only thing they're going to do from that is gain, because they can utilize that irrigation system. But otherwise, there's no reason for them to be mocheh over here or object to that which you are doing, and therefore you can't establish a chazakah. Afi kura v'ayo kura lo avi chazakah. If a person takes out a kur and brings in a kur, lo avi chazakah. That is not a chazakah. This is what we've been mentioning all along. If you're getting no economic benefit from the field itself, then you can't establish a chazakah. And over here, where you're bringing in a kur and taking out a kur, on a net basis, there's no economic benefit that you're gaining from the field. Given that, you cannot establish a chazakah. And others point out that this might be an assessment of the investment that you make in the field versus the produce that you take out. If you're investing in a way where the input into the field exceeds or is equal to the output of the field, then again, there's no economic benefit, or it's not economically viable to plant this field. And therefore, when you're doing that and the balim don't object, there's no indication from that you're establishing a chazakah. The lack of objection has to do with the uneconomic utilization of the field, or the lack of a viable financial investment that one could make here. And that's why they're not objecting. They're not letting you do this because you really own the land. They're doing this because you're gaining nothing from the field, and they're not forfeiting anything when you do this. And therefore, you can't establish a chazakah in that manner. V'hani debei reish galuta, lo machzikei ben, v'lo machzikinen behu. When it comes to the reish galuta, the exilarch, you cannot establish a chazakah against them, and they can't establish a chazakah against us. Which means that if the reish galuta goes in and utilizes the fields, that's not an indication the fact that they are establishing a chazakah over here. The reason, as the Rashbam points out, is that they are the people in power. They are the politically connected individuals. And therefore, when they take possession of a field in that manner, people might be fearful of objecting to them. The lack of objection is not necessarily an indication that they've been sold the property or that they are the true owners of the property. It just might be an indication of their political standing and the fact that people are unwilling or afraid to object. We saw that yesterday with regards to the Rashbam's explanation of why, by an akum, it's also no establishment of a chazakah, because of the fact that people are too scared to say anything. If their lack of objection is coming from fear, and not because they believe it's really your field, and that's why they're not objecting, then you can't prove anything from the lack of objection. And therefore, when it comes to the exilarch, or people of the political structure of the exilarch, establishing chazakot, we can't assume that the lack of objections here is coming because of their true ownership of the field, but rather it must be coming because of people's fear of objecting. Since we don't know, the Exilar can't establish a chazakah that way. And in reverse, people who take possession of the Exilar's land, over there we also don't see the lack of objection by the house of the Exilar as being an indication that they've sold the property to this individual and that they can establish a chazakah that way. That could be for a number of reasons. One reason the Rashbam notes is that they are takifin. These are people who are strongly connected, are in power. They have a strong political connection, and therefore they can come and throw you off the field anytime that they wish. So since they could throw you off the field, they don't worry about objecting, because as soon as they want the field back, they're going to go and throw you off the field. The Rashbam brings an alternate view, which is Yesh Mefarshim, Lefisha Sukim Mitzarchei Sibur. Since they're involved in the issues of the community, they're not paying attention. En yodim machzik v'shalem. They don't know who's on their property, and given that, they don't know to object. It's almost like the situations that we saw earlier, where people were traveling, or they were far away, and they only came back for short periods of time, and during that period of time, they were involved with the shuk. Over there, we said that the lack of objection is not an indication of a chazakah, because the person is just not aware of what's going on in his field. Similarly over here, the Exilarch is unaware of what's going on in the field because they are busy with matters of the community and matters of the political system, and therefore they don't pay attention to this. So their lack of objection is coming not from their acquiescence to your ownership, but rather from an absence of attention or a lack of awareness as to what is happening on their field. There are others who suggest that given their large ownership of tracts of land, which were not all necessary for them, or they couldn't utilize all of them, they looked aside when other people went into the fields and utilized them, as if it was a type of charity or a donation that they gave to these individuals, and let them work the fields while they didn't need them. So their lack of objection again here is not because they think you are the owner of the field, it's simply because they want to be generous to these individuals, and when they decide they want it back, they're going to take it back. So in all of these instances, the lack of objection is not an indication of ownership, and therefore you cannot establish a chazakah in this manner. Then the Gemara now continues with what was said in the Mishnah, that as far as the avadim, as far as slaves are concerned, one can establish a chazakah after 3 years. The Gemara questions that because, as we noted in our introduction to the Perek, the establishment of a chazakah by metaltalin is only true when you're dealing with non-real property that is inanimate, that is something that is stationary. And therefore, its presence in your possession is an indication of ownership or an indication of a chazakah. On the other hand, if something is mobile and can it move itself, just because it's in your possession is not necessarily an indication of the fact that you are muhzak in the item, because the item could have walked there itself. It could have come to you by itself. And so that's what the Gemara is perplexed about. How could it be that the Mishnah suggests that avadim are included in this list of items that can be acquired by establishing a chazakah over 3 years? It says, avadim yeshlem chazakah. You can establish a chazakah in that manner. V'amresh lakish ha-godrot ein lahem chazakah. Those that are usually surrounded by a fence cannot have a chazakah established with them. And this is the exception that we noted in the introduction to the Perek, which is animals, grazing animals that wander about by themselves, you cannot establish a chazakah with them because just because they're in your possession doesn't mean that they're yours. It means that they might have wandered over to your field. They might have wandered into your possession. It's not an indication of ownership, simply that they're not in the right place. And therefore, you can't establish a chazakah that way. And the same should be true by an Evet, who is mobile, is able to move his own volition, and maybe he walked over to this other person's property. Amar Abba, Ein Lahem Chazakah La'alter. That's only true that you can establish a chazakah immediately. Unlike other mitaltalim, non-real property, where possession is 9/10 of the law, and you're considered to be the mukzak in the item immediately, over here with these items, you cannot establish that chazakah immediately. But after 3 years, you can establish a chazakah. The way that the Rashbam reads this is, that after 3 years, you can establish a chazakah similar to real property land where you can establish chazakah from utilization over a period of time, since possession is not indicative by land because land doesn't move. Over here in the reverse, since an eved and these animals move about, if you establish ownership or act like the owner of these items for a period of time that is long enough, we will allow you to establish ownership over them. So you're right. They don't look like regular metaltalim where you can establish ownership immediately through possession. On the other hand, over a period of time, that should be sufficient grounds to indicate that you are the owner of this property, because nobody's objecting to you treating them like yours and acting towards them as if you are the owner. And therefore, you can establish a chazakah. So the way that the Rashbam reads it is that this is applicable both to abadim utu godrot, animals and abadim. You can establish a chazakah after 3 years. You can see there, there's an ot aleph in the gra. And the gra notes that both the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch believe that's only true with regards to abadim. And that is because in our Mishnah, it mentions abadim, which are 3 years. So there you have to agree to the fact that after 3 years, you can establish a chazakah. But as far as godrot animals are concerned, the Gemara is only reconciling our Mishnah vis-a-vis avadim. Doesn't mean by godrot that you could ever establish a chazakah. That's the way that those Rishonim view it. The Rashbam, on the other hand, says the Gemara's reconciliation here is equally applicable to avadim as it is to behemot, and you can establish a chazakah after 3 years for both of those items. There are Rishonim who believe just the opposite way around, which is that by avadim, you have to wait 3 years in order to establish ownership, like real property. By animals, it'll be a time period in which normally owners would be makpid. So it doesn't have to be 3 years, because we don't see that number mentioned by the animals. And yes, it'll have the same din that you can't establish ownership immediately, but the requisite amount of time will be subject to what's the normal time period in which owners would be makpid if you kept their animal for that period of time. And maybe that's less than 3 years. So there are a group of Rishonim that differentiate animals from the Abadim, whether the Chumrah to say that you can never establish a Chazakah, or whether the Kula to say it's less than 3 years. And there are Rishonim like the Rashbam who indicate that animals and Abadim have the same din, and that means you can't establish a Chazakah immediately, but over time, after 3 years, you could establish a Chazakah. Amaravam, Ayakotan Mutal Barisa, Yesh Lo Chazakah Li'Altar. He says, if it is a young child that is in his bassinet, then you can establish a chazakah. Meaning that if you have an Eved Kenani that is born in your possession, or you have a shifcha that is born in your possession, if they are babies that are not mobile, then you can establish a chazakah immediately. Because otherwise, why is the baby in your possession? So over here, like metaltalim, you can establish ownership immediately, because possession is indicative of ownership over here, because the only way this item moves is if you move it. It doesn't move by itself. It's not independently mobile. Given that, you can establish a chazakah immediately. The Gemara says, pshita. What do you mean? That's pretty straightforward. It's an equivalent to an inanimate object because of its lack of ability to move, and therefore, of course, it should be able to establish a chazakah immediately. It says, lo, sricha de'itle ima. That he has a mother that is taking care of them. We would worry that the parent of this child, the mother of this child, brought the child over here. And that's how it got here. Not that it moved by itself, obviously, but it was moved by its mother. And that's how the child got here. Kamash Malan, ima lo manshe bro. Kamash Malan, that a woman does not abandon her child. So therefore, even if it was brought here by the mother, the only reason the mother would have brought it here is because she's there, and they intend to stay, and that they are owned by you. What won't happen is the mother, who's owned by someone else, will not drop the child off by another party, and then walk away from the child. That's what you would have to think in order for this not to be a chazakah. You would say that the child was moved there by a party with intention, that's the mother, and then left there or abandoned there. And given that, you now don't have a chazakah, because it could be that the baby was brought there and it wasn't because you possessed it and that you own it. The answer is that mothers don't abandon their children in general. And therefore, in this case, if the child is there, that possession is indicative of ownership, because children don't move at that age. And if they were moved there, it's because you are the owner of that child. Hanu izei da'achlu chushla minardo. This is a sugya that we saw at the end of Baba Metzia, where we had these goats that were eating the chushla in Nardo, We saw over there that chushla was shelled barley. Atamari chushla, the owner of this shelled barley, came along, tafsinu. He grabbed them as collateral to get paid back for what they were eating. V'kayin tayin tuva. And he made a huge claim for the monetary losses that he was suffering. Amar avua de Shmuel. Shmuel's father said, again, Shmuel's father is in that transition generation between the Tanaim and Amoraim. He is a peer of Rabbi's. He communicates with Rabbi back and forth. Yochol iton ad kedei demeyen. He has a right to make a claim up to the value of the animals that he's holding as collateral. Di bayamar lekucho tein biyadi. Because he has an alternative to say that I purchased these animals. So since he has the right to say I purchased these animals, he has amigo now. He could have lied if he wanted to and said that these animals are mine because I purchased them. Therefore, he is believed now to say that the value that he has lost from them eating his shelled barley is up to the value of these animals. And he can make a claim up to that value and then sell off or keep the animals for that value. Where it says, V'amareish lakish ha-godrot en lem chazaka. How can you say over here that he made a claim that they were purchased by him if animals you cannot establish a chazaka with? Possession is not an indication of ownership by animals because they are mobile. They move around by themselves. They're animate objects. It says, Shaini Ize de Misire Leroe, or Masrin Leroe. When it comes to izim or goats, they are given over to the shepherds. And that is because the goats are damaging in nature. They eat everything in sight. And therefore, the owners don't want to keep them around or leave them in the city. They hand them over to the shepherds to take them out to the fields and keep them out of trouble. Given that, then there's somebody who is responsible for these animals. If there's someone responsible for these animals and now they end up in someone else's possession, that's an indication of ownership or the right to establish a chazakah because these animals don't wander around freely. Mar says, that's not exactly true. What about in the mornings and in the evenings? What seemingly is happening is that the shepherds are out in the fields and the owners of these animals are in the city. What the owners do is that they send their animals out to the shepherds on their own during the day and the goats go out or walk out to the shepherds in the fields and stay with them. And at night, the shepherds send the animals back in and they return to their barns or to their owners. So there's a period of time where the animals are on their own, or they're making their way on their own. That's in the morning, going out to the shepherds, and from the shepherds coming home in the evening. So there is a period of time where they're wandering around, and in that period of time, they could have wandered into this other person's possession, and therefore you shouldn't be able to establish chazakah. Mar says, v'narda tayishchichei. When it comes to narda, there were many Arab merchants that were nearby, and therefore, umiyado liyado mishalmei. Therefore, they're handed from hand to hand. There was too much risk in letting the animals wander. In smaller cities or in areas where there was trust between the parties, they would allow their animals to wander out to the fields where the shepherds were, and then at night, the shepherds would send them back in freely, and nobody would worry about it. They would assume the animals got home, and they would assume the animals reached the shepherds. Over here, where it's a larger city, as well as it seems to be adjacent to them, or traversing that area were these merchants. And those merchants were not exactly honest individuals, and they would steal these animals when they saw them wandering around. Because of that, the practice of the people of Narda was not to allow the animals to wander out or go to the shepherds. They would hand them directly to the shepherds, and the shepherds, when they returned them, hand them directly back to the owners. There was too much risk in letting them wander because there was theft in this area. Given that, the animals don't wander. If they don't wander, then them being in your possession is indicative of ownership because they couldn't have just wandered there. The reason they're there is because you took them there and your possession is an indication of ownership. Therefore, the individual who took them as collateral can make a claim up to the value of these animals because he could have migo, he could have said, I bought these animals and they're mine now. Given that they're in his possession, that's a chazakah already. And he could have said that, since if he wanted to lie, he could have lied that way. He's believed over here to make a claim for losses up to the value of these animals. Right now we move along in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel Omer Shlosha Chodoshim. We had the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah that said that you can establish in a stay habal, a chazakah, according to Rabbi Ishmael, in 18 months. 3 months from the first year, 3 months from the last year, and the 12 months in the middle year, in order to keep them ritzufim, and that would establish a chazak over an 18-month period. And Rabbi Akiva said you need a month in the first year, a month in the last year, and the 12 months in between, or in 14 months, you can establish a chazakah. Lema nir ika benayu. What is the nafkamino, or what explains the difference in duration between the position of Rabbi Shmuel says 18 months, and the position of Rabbi Akiva that says that it is 14 months? So the Gemara over here is speculating that it's near. It's a field that is plowed. The field that they plowed at the end of the harvest, they used to plow over the field to uproot anything that was left in the ground, the weeds, and any residual growth from that year. And then it would be ready to be utilized in the following year, or if they were going to leave the field fallow for a year in order to rejuvenate the field, they'd also plow the field in order to bring up the nutrients and allow the water and the air to get in there. And they would leave it fallow and then plant it the subsequent year. So what the Gemara is saying over here is maybe the nafkamina between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel is whether near. That plowing of the field is good enough to establish ownership. The Rabbi Shmuel Savar near lo avi chazaka. He thinks that that plowing of the field is not enough to establish a chazaka. Therefore, he needs a longer duration in order to establish a chazaka because he needs you to take or plant the field and harvest the field, not simply plow the field. Rabbi Akiva Savar near avi chazaka. And Rabbi Akiva says, plowing in the field is enough, and therefore he doesn't need such a long duration in the first and last years, because plowing would be enough. Mar says, v'tizbaro? Does that make sense? Rabbi Akiva, ma'iriya chodesh. If Rabbi Akiva really believed that the plowing in the field was sufficient, then why do you need a month's time in order to establish a chazakah? Afilu yom echad nami. All you need is 1 day. If you plowed it for 1 day in the first year, kept it for the 12 months, and then plowed it again in the 1 day into the third year, then you can establish a chazakah. If you think that plowing the field establishes a chazakah, then that should be true even in a day's time. And therefore, for Rabbi Akiva, his position should have been 12 months in 2 days, rather than 14 months. The fact that he says 14 months is almost indicative of the fact that plowing of the field is not what he thinks establishes a chazakah. Ela dekuli alma nir lo avi chazakah. Everybody agrees, and Mishmo and Rabbi Akiva both agree, that the plowing of the field cannot establish a chazakah. The difference between them is big fruits and little fruits. So there are two possible explanations of what that means. You can look in the Rabbeinu Gershon. It says, Peir Rabba, the Rabbi Shmuel Savar Beinan Shloshah Chodoshim, Digu Peir Rabba, the Gamar Peir Beinan. He has over there peirot that take longer to mature, and therefore he needs the full range of 3 months. Rabbi Akiva Savar Peir Zutrata, Gagon Asaf Sata, the Bechod Shechad Nigmar Kulo, Peiro Sagya. So therefore it's something where it grows quickly. It's a smaller type of vegetation. It only takes a month to grow, for example, the hay in the field. So the difference between them is, can you establish a chazakah? What type of vegetation do you need in order to establish a chazakah? According to Rabbi Shmuel, you need something of significance in order to establish a chazakah. Therefore, you need 18 months, because it needs the 3 months to mature in order for it to be classified as a chazakah. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says you can establish a chazakah even with smaller items. And that's what the Rashbam brings in his second explanation. Inami kagon yerek. That Rabbi Akiva is speaking about vegetables as opposed to tvuah or fruits on the tree, which require a longer period of time to mature. Rabbi Shmuel thinks that you need those fruits or those grains in order to establish chazakah. Rabbi Akiva says you can establish chazakah even with yerek, even with vegetables or hay, as the Rabbeinu Gershom in the second explanation of the Rashbam. The Rashbam brings in his first explanation that the difference between them is whether it has to grow to full maturity, or if you cut something in its immature state, would that be sufficient? So for instance, in grains, where it takes 3 months for the grains to grow, there Rabbi Shmuel said you can establish a chazak over a period of 18 months. Rabbi Akiva says you can cut grains for shachat, for animal feed, in the first month. Even though they're immature, you can cut them early. And given that, you can establish a chazakah by utilizing it after 30 days for shachat. So the machlok between them is, do you need something at its full maturity in order to establish a chazakah? Or even if you take something in its immature state, where if you utilize it in that period of time as shachat, then that's enough to establish a chazakah. It might be that the Rashbam offers the alternative pshat, and the Rabbeinu Gershom does not subscribe to this, because we saw in the previous Samud that Rava believed that Shachat cannot establish a Chazakah. And we don't necessarily want Rava arguing with Rabbi Akiva, although here you could argue that he didn't use it for the 3 years straight as Shachat. He only used it in the first year and the last year as Shachat. In the interim year, he used it fully, or he allowed it to grow and mature fully. So maybe that would differentiate Rabbi Akiva's position here from that which Rava said before, where the guy is trying to establish Chazakah over 3 years of utilizing Shachat. Or Rava is just subscribing to the position of the Chachamim, who argue on Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel and say that you need a full 3 years, and Shachat's not going to work to establish those full 3 years. So now the Gemara, while it's on this topic of plowing the field, wants to discuss whether plowing of the field can establish a Chazakah. Tanu Banan, Nir Enu Chazakah. Plowing of the field does not establish a Chazakah. Ve'esh Omrim Arizeh Chazakah. There are those that say that it is a chazakah. So you here have a machloket as to whether the plowing of the field establishes a chazakah. Now, according to those that say that plowing does not establish a chazakah, what does that mean? The Ramban thinks that means that plowing is never able to be counted towards the time of establishing a chazakah. It's not meaningful. And not for obvious reasons, which is it's an expenditure. It's not a benefit that comes out of the field. On the other hand, the Rashba disagrees with him and says, you're right, if it was simply plowing that was done in the field, you cannot establish a chazakah. But even according to those that say plowing does not establish a chazakah, if he's there for the full cycle of the planting and then the harvesting afterwards, we will look at his chazakah as starting from the time that he plowed the field. So it would be the plowing, the planting, and then the harvesting, because in the end he harvested and benefited from the field, but we'll not say that his clock for chazakah starts from the harvesting, we'll say that it starts back at the time that you plowed. So that's the view of the Rashba, though the Ramban believes that plowing never gives you any rights to chazakah. Gemara says, Man Yesh Omrim. Who is the Yesh Omrim over here? If you can see in the Ot Aleph in the Bach, he points out, despite the fact that the Gemara in Hori Yod says that whenever you have Yesh Omrim in Shas, it is Rabbi Natan, the Gemara over here asks, who is the Yesh Omrim? Because they must have had a Kabbalah in their hands that there was someone else who was the author of this position over here. So I'm Rav Chista, Rabbi Achai. That is the position, Rabbi Acha. Tanya, we have a Braita. Neira Shana, Vizara Bet. If he plowed it 1 year and planted it 2 years, Neira Bet, or he plowed it 2 years, Vizara Shana, and then planted it 1 year, Ain't a chazakah. You cannot establish a chazakah that way. It's clear that the Tanna Kamma believes that the plowing is not a mechanism for establishing chazakah. Rabbi Acha Omer is a chazakah. So here you see an opinion in the Tanaim, Rabbi Acha, who believes that you can establish a chazakah through the plowing of the field. The Baal Yom Tov note over here that it has to dafka be that it's alternating years. It has to be that he plowed, then he planted, then he plowed, or vice versa, that he planted, plowed, and then planted, because that is utilizing the field in a normal manner, which is that people leave the field fallow in the interim years to rejuvenate the field. But if a person plows it 2 years in a row, that doesn't establish a chazakah, because that's not the normal way to use the land. There's no reason to lay it fallow for 2 years in a row and plow it both of those years. So therefore, if you plow it twice and then plant it once, that won't establish a chazakah. It's dafka in this manner in which the years are alternating between planting and plowing that Rav Acha believes that you can establish a chazakah. Amar Rabbi Ashi, or the alternate girsa over here, is Amar Rabbi Acha, Shelit and Kol Gdolei Ador. I asked all the great people of the generation, Vamuli, Nir Arizeh Chazakah. Not only, if you say it's Rabbi Acha, then you say that not only did he hold of this, but his opinion was shaped by the fact that everybody else believed that, and that was the consensus psak over here. If you think it's Rav Ashi asking later on, towards the end of the time of the Amoraim, what should be the psak in this case? And he took a survey or consensus of all the Gedolim, and they all thought that Nir should be a chazakah. Amar le Rav Bibi, the Rav Nachman, my time of the Mandamar Nir Abi Chazakah. What's the reasoning or the logic behind the one who says that plowing establishes a chazakah? Because lo avinish dekrivo le'la'are v'shotik. People don't let other people come and plow their land and stand by silently. People will object to other people coming into their fields and plowing their land. The fact that he doesn't object, that's a good indication that this person must own it now, and the original owner has sold it to him or forfeited his rights over here, because otherwise he would have objected. Nobody stands by while other people plow their fields. My time of the Andamar near lo avi chazakah. What's the logic behind those that say that plowing the field does not establish a chazakah? Meimar Amar. People will say, Kol Shiva Vishiva Dekrovo, I obey. So the way that the Rishbam explains this is that every splinter, every piece of wood should go in. Or in essence, what he's saying is, let him wear his plow down. Let it split up and let it wear it down because he's benefiting me. Why should I care the fact that he's plowing my field? He's simply doing something that in the end is going to come to my benefit because it's my field. So there's no reason for me to throw him out of the field when all he's doing is expending money in the field. He's not benefiting from the field. He's simply improving the land. And I'm not going to object to him improving my land. Let him have a field day in there. Let him wear his plow down doing this for me. Shalchulei b'nei Pum Na'ara, the Rav Nachman by Rav Chista. So the people of Pum Na'ara sent to Rav Nachman by Rav Chista, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, Nira Havi Chazaka, Lo Havi Chazaka. What's the din with regards to plowing? Does plowing establish a Chazaka or not establish a Chazaka? Amalo Rav Acha, B'chol G'dolei Ador Amrei, Nira Havi Chazaka. So this might influence why the Bach changed the Girsa before, which is, he says, Rabbi Acha, and all the G'dolei Ador said that this was a Chazaka. So that would seem to indicate that it was a continuation of that statement of Rabbi Acha before. Whereas you could still explain it, even if it was Ravashi's statement. But it seems to make more sense now that that was a part of a singular statement. He says, Rabbi Acha and all the G'dolei Ador said it is a Chazaka. So what do you want? Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Rebuta the Mechshev Gavrei? He says, what type of Chiddush is it to enumerate people? Meaning that, why do you think that there is a psak halacha here because you said Rabbi Acha and all the G'dolei Ador say this? It's as if nobody else has a dissenting opinion. Ha Rav Shmuel b'Bavel. You have Rav and Shmuel, two big guns in Bavel. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva b'Eretz Yisrael. You have two Tanaim in Eretz Yisrael. Amrei Nir lo avi chazaka. That all say that plowing is not a mechanism for establishing a chazaka or is not a vehicle for establishing chazaka. So what do you mean that Rabbi Acha and all the G'dolei Ador? I'll show you the biggest G'dolei Ador in these generations, and they both don't agree that Nir is a Chazaka. So that's a disingenuous assessment of the situation. You're only bringing one side of the argument, and you're not bringing the contrary opinions, who are numerous and of big stature. So now the Gemara explains, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, Matznitani. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel from our Mishnah, it's obvious that they don't believe that plowing is a chazaka. And that's from the question that we left off with as we turned the Amud today, which is the fact that in the Mishnah, they require either 18 months or 14 months to establish a chazaka. If they believe plowing was a chazaka, then they would only need 12 months and 2 days to establish a chazaka. The fact that they require more than that, meaning that for them, Rabbi Akiva, peirizuta is the only way to establish Chazaka, and for Rabbi Shmuel, even Peirizuta is not enough. That shows you that if that's their minimum requirement, certainly plowing is not going to meet that minimum requirement. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva clearly do not subscribe to this idea that plowing can establish a Chazaka. Rav Mahi, where do we know that Rav believes that plowing is not considered to be a Chazaka? Dam Rav Yehuda Merav, Zo Divrei Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. The authorship of those positions in our Mishnah are the positions of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Aval Chachamim Omrim. But the Chachamim disagree and say, Chezkata Gimel Shani Miyom Liyom. That the establishment of a Chazaka requires 3 years from day to day. Miyom Liyom Limutei Mai. From day to day, what does that come to exclude? Lav Limutei Nir. Isn't it coming to exclude the plowing of the field? Delo, that you can't establish a Chazaka that way? As the Rashbam points out, that the Chachamim are not even willing to accept the position of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, that Peirizuta or Peirabba established a Chazaka, certainly Nir is not going to establish a Chazaka for them. The Baal Yad Tosafot over here say that they're not exactly sure why this is a miut. All that has been said over here is that you need 3 years miyom liyom. But the Baal Yad Tosafot say, who says that you can't establish a Chazaka through plowing? All that the Chachamim say is that they require a full 3 years to establish a Chazaka. But maybe you could do that in 3 years of plowing. They never preclude your ability to establish a Chazaka through plowing. They simply say that you need a full 3 years. And so the Rashbam explains over here that the Chachamim are the position that leads to Rava's explanation of how you establish a Chazaka, which is the reason for the Chazaka is that people keep their shtar for a period of 3 years. But beyond that point in time, they're not so careful about their shtar. And therefore, up to 3 years, you need to make an objection to remind them to keep their shtar around. If you don't make an objection in that period of time, we can assume that they've established a chazaka replaces the need for a shtar in that case. So given that, their understanding of the Mishnah is that you need 3 years independent of any harvest or any type of action that you're taking on the field. And the Bdalei Tosafot would say, fine, if that's the case, just say they need a full 3 years. But what is it that established a chazaka for you? What did you do on the field? Maybe it is that you plowed. So that's what the Bdalei Tosafot are left perplexed about, that you really can't prove from here that they don't believe that Harisha can establish a chazaka. All you can prove from here is that they don't believe that Harisha by itself establishes a chazaka. Maybe together with the 3 years, it could establish a chazaka. Although, the way that the Ramban explains it would probably negate this question of the Bali at Tosafot, because the Ramban says that when the Chachamim over here say 3 years from day to day, they don't literally mean 3 years from day to day. They just mean three agricultural cycles. So you need three full agricultural cycles, and in that case, plowing would not work, because that would not be a full agricultural cycle, because all you've done is plowed and not taking it through the full cycle of an agricultural season. And from there, you would prove the fact that the Chachamim don't believe that plowing can establish a chazaka. And as we noted back earlier in the Perek, that the position of the Chachamim could be found in the Mishnah, depending on how you read the line before the position of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. If you read that line as being a heading as to, these are the opinions that say that by stay up Baal is going to be this way, then the Chachamim are not included in our Mishnah. There is a separate position that Rav is bringing down that argue on Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So then, if you see that opening line, that general statement as being the position of the Chachamim, and then afterwards Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva argue on it, then you could even find the Chachamim in our Mishnah. Shmuel Mahi. Where do we know that Shmuel doesn't think that plowing can establish a chazaka? Dam Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel, Zo Divrei Rabbi Shmuel veRabbi Akiva. Again, Shmuel says that this is the position of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Aval Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim believe, Ad Shigdor Shlosh Gderot, V'imtzor Gimel Bitzirot, V'imtzor Gimel Misikot. Until he does three harvests of each type, you cannot establish a chazaka. What Shmuel is referring to in the Mishnah is something that is stated by Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva's name is not associated with this position in the Mishnah, but it might be that we infer that Rabbi Akiva would agree, because Rabbi Akiva argued on Rabbi Shmuel as to the duration by the stay of Baal. He says 14 months and not 18 months, and then Rabbi Shmuel makes another statement with regards to a field that has different types of vegetation on it, that you can establish a chazaka once you've harvested three different types of vegetation. If you took the dates off of it, and then you took the grapes off of it, and then you took the olives off of it, that would establish a chazaka if you just harvested three different types of vegetation on the field. So that's said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva doesn't argue, so maybe the Gemara assumes that Rabbi Akiva also agrees. But Shmuel says that position is the position of Rabbi Shmuel. The Chachamim believe that you have to have three of each, meaning that you need to go through three cycles of each type of harvest. So if over a general year, agricultural year, you're able to harvest these three different types of fruits, then you have to do that whole cycle three times in order to establish a chazaka. Gemara says, "May benayu." What's the nafkamina between Rav and Shmuel? The Bali and Tosafot again are bothered by the question. They say, "Ikatuva." There's plenty of things that are different between Rav and Shmuel. For instance, you could have three harvests in a shorter period of time than 3 years. Rav is saying that the Chachamim's position is you need a full 3 years. Shmuel's position is you simply need three harvests. Well, you could get three harvests, even of full cycle of harvests, or three items repeated three times in a shorter duration than 3 years. So obviously there's a big difference between Rav and Shmuel. So he says, V'omeri, demashmalei, degimel mitzirot shleimot, kol shnata bitzirot. When it says three harvest years, it literally means of three full years. So not necessarily full years, but it means that not a batsir, just a harvest. It means a harvest that represents a year. And therefore, even Shmuel would agree that you need to have not only three harvests, but three harvests over 3 years. And therefore, that's not a distinction between them. And we have to come up with another nafkamina between them. Tosafot does propose another nafkamina, which is whether the fruits on these fields ripen early or late. For Shmuel, that will make a difference because it's the harvest that dictates. Whereas for Rav, it's always a fixed duration of time that dictates. Nevertheless, the Gemara itself brings this difference between them. Amar Abaye, Dekil Nara, Ikabenayu. A young palm tree is the nafkamina between them. Over here, we have a number of opinions. The Rashbam over here brings his own three different possibilities. One of the opinions that is brought in the Rashbam is also brought in the Rabbeinu Gershom over here, which is that it is a tree that has two harvests per year. Since it has two harvests per year, and the terminology that is given to it, the Rashbam says, is a duo perin, which means duo twice. Perin is produce or fruits. It has a harvest or a production semi-annually, and therefore in a single year you could already harvest the tree twice. That means over a period of a year and a half you could have three harvests or three pickings off of this tree. And given that, Shmuel will say you can establish a chazaka in that year and a half. Whereas for Rav, you always need a duration of 3 years. So there, Shmuel would be the kula. Another possibility that the Rashbam brings is that pachot migimo shanim shleimot tonot gimo pamim. In less than 3 years, it produces three harvests. I mean, it has a shorter window or frame than full years because it's a young tree. It ripens faster or it produces faster. And therefore, in a period of time that is less than 3 years, you could establish a chazaka according to Shmuel. Whereas according to Rav, you would need a full 3 years. In both of those instances, Shmuel's the kula. The Rashbam then quotes from the Rabbeinu Chananel a third position, which is Rabbeinu Chananel perish dekel ne'ara, dekel amishir perutav kodim gamran. It is a palm tree that drops its fruit before they reach full maturity. And the way that the Rashbam explains the Rabbeinu Chananel is that in this case, Shmuel will be the chumra, which is that Rav says that you need to be there for 3 years. And 3 years, no matter what type of harvests come off the field or what happens to the fruits on the field, then you are done. On the other hand, Shmuel believes that you need three harvests where the fruit reached full maturation. Since this tree is dropping its fruits before full maturation, you can't establish a chazaka with those fruits, and therefore it'll take much longer, according to Shmuel, to establish a chazaka. Because you haven't harvested the fruits. The fruits are naturally dropping off the tree before maturation. Again, for Rav, who needs 3 years, 3 years will work independent of how or what happens on the field during that period of time. Although, as Ramban views that view of the Rabbeinu Chananel, the Kula, which is that Shmuel believes you just need to bring in a harvest of 3 years. So whether you actually harvest them off the tree or the tree dropped the fruits early and you brought them in, that would be sufficient to establish a chazaka. As Rav requires full 3 years or full 3 years of harvesting and maturation, and therefore he would be the chumra, and that would be in line with the other explanations that Shmuel is the kula, and Rav is the chumra over here. So now the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbi Shmuel b'medvar mimrim b'stei alavan. That when is it true that you need this duration, whether it's 3 years in the beginning of the Mishnah, or in the case of stei abal, where Rabbi Shmuel requires 18 months, that's true in a field that grows tfuah, grains. Stei alavan, it's white, because when the grains reach maturation and dry out on the field, they look like big white fields. But on the other hand, when it came to stei ailan, Rabbi Shmuel said you could establish a chazaka by simply harvesting the field 3 times, meaning that if you took off dates or figs, grapes, and then olives, you did 3 harvests, even in a single year, you could establish a chazaka. Amar Abaye mi Rabbi Shmuel nishma the Rabbonon. So we know that the Rabbonon argue on Rabbi Shmuel, we just saw that before, both from Rav and Shmuel, that the Rabbonon require 3 years. But what Abaye is pointing out is that which is true for Rabbi Shmuel in 1 year will be true for the Chachamim over 3 years. Which is just like Rabbi Shmuel says that you do not have to harvest the same type of vegetation in order to establish a chazaka. 3 different types of vegetation could establish a chazaka. So too, the Rabbonan over a 3-year period believe that you could have 3 different harvests that would establish a chazaka. So therefore, hayulo shloshim ilanot mimata asara lebeitza'ah. If a person had 30 trees, in which they were distributed in such a manner that there were 10 on every Beit Sa'ah. So now the Rashbam brings over here, and the Balei Tosfot quote this from the Kuntres, from Rashi, which is that the need for 30 trees over here, 10 per Beit Sa'ah, is an absolute requirement. Because that's the normal way that you have trees planted and distributed over an area. You have 10 trees over an area of a Beit Sa'ah. The Balei Tosafot do point out that this is usually with saplings. When you have them with that density, larger trees, it's usually only three trees over a Beit Sa'ah. So we must be talking about younger trees over here. But as Rashi or the Rashbam point out, that is only true if you have 10 in a Beit Sa'ah distributed evenly. If you have more than 10 trees, he calls it a yar. It becomes a forest, and it's no longer a field or a field that people would normally pick. The difficulty or the problem over here might be either that you're going to uproot the trees, and therefore it's not really there to be utilized, or the possibility that the person who's eating over here is eating from the trees that will be uprooted. And that's why the balim are not makpid, and that's why they're not objecting, and therefore you can't establish a chazaka. So that is the view of Rashi and the Rashbam, although the Balei Tosafot disagree with that position and seem to indicate that even if they are closer than 10 distributed over a tract of a Beit Sa'ah, you could still establish a chazaka as long as they're not too close. As long as they're not within 4 or 8 amot of each other, depending on what you think the minimum spacing is for the trees, then you can establish a chazaka because people do plant in that manner. And since they plant in that manner, that can establish a chazaka. And the other way around, if you have less trees there than 10 per Beit Sa'ah, you also cannot establish a chazaka. According to the Rashbam and Rashi, that is because when you have those trees distributed of 10 over a Beit Sa'ah, not only do you get the trees, but you get the land that comes with the trees. Then if you had less trees than that distributed over this property, yes, you could establish a chazaka for the trees, but then the space around them or the land that's around them, but you cannot establish a chazaka for the land that was in between the trees, because they're not considered to be a field of trees then. Then the Balei Tosafot say you can't establish a chazaka whatsoever. When the trees are distributed in that manner, it's not called a field of trees. And therefore, when you eat it or you harvest the trees, that's not an indication of ownership because it's not viewed as a field of trees or an orchard of sorts. So therefore, the Balei Tosafot say if the density is less than this, you can't establish a chazaka at all. Because the Rashi and Rashi say you can establish a chazaka for the trees in the area around them, but not for the space or the land between the trees. So that's why you needed 30 over here. And now the situation plays out as this. Achala sara b'shana zo, basara b'shana zo, basara b'shana zo. He eats from 10 trees this year, another 10 trees the next year, and then the last 10 trees in the third year, harizo chazaka. So this is Abaye's application of this idea that from Rabbi Shmuel we can establish a position of the chachamim. Because the Rabbi Shmuel says three different harvests can establish a chazaka. So to over here, with 30 trees that are over a field, if you eat from 10 of the trees each year, you can establish a chazaka for the entire field. Love me, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Chad Pei Rabbi Chazaka L'Kulu Pei Rei. Just like Rabbi Shmuel says that a harvest of one particular item can establish a chazaka for all of those items on the field, or for the entire field. Hachanami, so to over here, Ani Yavi Chazaka Lahani, Vani Yavi Chazaka Lahani. Each 10 trees will be a chazaka for the other 10 trees, or really the other 20 trees that are on the field. Mer qualifies that and says, Vahani Milei Eched Delo Afiku. That's only true if the trees did not bear fruit during that period of time. Aval afiku below achal, but if they produced fruits and you didn't eat them, you don't have a chazaka. That is not a chazaka. You can't establish a chazaka that way. Because if all 30 trees bear fruit and you only pick 10 of them, again, it looks like you are sneaking into the field and trying to take it without anybody seeing. So you leave a lot of the fruit there. You only take off 10 trees worth of fruit. You do it in a manner that's not normal way to treat or take care of a field or to manage the field. The fact that you're doing that again becomes circumstantial evidence that you're really not the owner of the field, but someone sneaking on the field to take the fruits. Given that, you can't establish a chazaka in that manner. It has to be a situation or circumstance in which only 10 of the trees produced in that year. The way that the Rashbam quotes that happens, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, is in a case of Benot Shuach. Benot Shuach are trees whose fruit take 3 years to develop. It's brought up in the Mishnayot and Shviit with regards to fruits that are picked in the second year after Shviit from the Benot Shuach, that they have a din of Perot Shviit, because those fruits emerge at Chanata and Shviit, but they only come to maturity 3 years later in the second year after the Shemitah. So these are trees that only give fruit every 3 years. So you have 30 trees on the field in which each 10 of them every 3 years is giving fruit. So that's how you have a situation or circumstance in which you have 10 trees giving fruit and the other 20 trees are not giving or producing fruit. Because otherwise it'd be some crazy case, ridiculous case, where you would have a circumstance like that. So Rabbeinu Hanano comes up with a reasonable way to explain how this could happen by using these Bnot Shuach that mature every 3 years. Now, even though we said earlier that if you have fruits on the tree at the same time that there are other fruits on the tree, that's not considered to be a separate harvest. Because since the fruits were already on the tree, and you're picking some fruits that are mature, the existence of the other fruits makes it that they're all considered to be one harvest, and that's three separate harvests. And that would be a problem, according to this Rabbeinu Hananel's explanation, because these fruits are on the trees for 3 years. That means when you picked from 10 of the trees, the other 20 trees already had their fruits on them. They're just not mature. They're going to take another 2 or 3 years for them to mature, but they were on the trees. So what the Rishonim explain over here is that this is different than that case. Over there, by the case of the bushes or by the case of the fruits over there, they were very close to maturity. In a short period of time, they would mature. And therefore, if you picked mature fruits while the other immature fruits were on the tree, they're all considered to be one harvest. Over here, where it's going to be a long duration, meaning exceeding a year before these fruits are considered to be mature, that already makes them a separate harvest. So a separate harvest is either if they're not on the tree at the same time, or if the duration exceeds a year, that also is classified or considered a separate harvest. In addition, when the 10 produce in each year and you pick from those 10 trees, they have to be randomly distributed over the field. It can't be that there are blocks of 10 here, a block of 10 here, a block of 10 here, because if that's the case, then you're only establishing a chazokah in that area. There's no overlap between that field and the other fields because they are separate fields. By definition, you have 10 trees on a Beit Sa'ah. That's considered to be an orchard. That's considered to be a field. So just because you pick one orchard doesn't mean you're establishing a chazokah for the other orchard. The only way for that to be the case is if they're interspersed between each other. And so the 10 that you're picking this year are interspersed amongst the 30. And the same thing in the subsequent year and then in the third year again. Because in that way you're establishing a chazokah for the entire field. Although the Rambam has a different interpretation of what bazei bazuze means, is that if they are bazei bazuze, means that people come and buzzimotam, that they're hefker and people come freely to take the fruits, then you cannot establish a chazokah in that manner, because obviously if they're hefker. But if you guarded the fruits, even though you didn't pick from them in that year, that would establish a chazokah. So it's a little bit of a kula, which says that even if all 30 trees are producing fruits, if you're picking from 10 of them and guarding the other items, that would establish a chazokah. But if the bazuze uzuze, meaning that the other trees are open for other people to take them, you can't establish a chazokah in that manner. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph.